They don't have any respect for you. Make them remember you as long as they live. The way you hit, and the way you knock them down downfield, and the way we hustle. Attack, attack, attack. Always attack.
Hour number two of Sports 180 kicks off now. I'm Heather Harrington along with Vince Ferrara. We're pleased to be joined by longtime, formerly of the Knoxville News Sentinel, writer covering UT football for many years, Mike Strange. Mike, it is so good to be able to talk to you today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, good afternoon to you and to Vince.
Hey, Mike, what was one of the first things that crossed your mind yesterday when you heard of Coach Majors' passing?
Well, this is funny you should mention that. The way I learned it, I still write one column a week for the shopper news section of the News Sentinel, and I have to do it a week ahead of time. So yesterday I was sitting at my desk, and I had been writing a column about Pat Dye, who died, Monday maybe.
Yes.
So here I am. I'm just putting the finishing touches on a column about Pat Dye and with a Tennessee angle relating it to, he was Coach Major's rival all through the 80s. And I'm just putting the ending on it, and I look down, and I get a text from somebody that John Majors had just died. And I thought, as they say in the newspaper business, get me rewrite, because this column is going to get rewritten. So I just found it ironic that I was working on a column about Pat Dye and in terms of his relationship to Johnny Majors. And then, by golly, 48 hours or what after Pat Dye's gone, John Majors is also gone.
Well, Mike, since you're not putting the column out there, and I know that was a really interesting angle because we just lost Pat Dye and how those two had that rivalry that maybe was under discussed.
Yeah.
What were some things that stood out about those two, the interaction and relationship that those two had?
Well, I rewrote the column. It'll run next week, but it's, obviously with a different tone now about Coach Majors. Mm-hmm. They both, Coach Majors came back to Tennessee in 77, Pat Dye got to Auburn in 81. And so all through the 80s, the September Auburn game was next to Alabama. That was the big game. This was before divisions, before Florida was an annual rivalry. So the Tennessee-Auburn game in late September was huge. And it gauged whether you were going to be a contender or not in the SEC that year. And so anyway, Coach Dye and Coach Majors both rebuilt their programs during that decade, and there were some great battles. Both won several SEC championships. And at the end of the decade, I think in 87 and again in 1990, there were two tie games, one in Knoxville and then the one in Auburn. And it was just I was reflecting on what an era that was, that it was different. It was Coach Dye and Coach Majors were both old school guys, but they adapted. In Tennessee's case, you look at Tony Robinson when he gets there, and it's obvious what a talent he is. And so you're gonna run a different offense, a more open offense, when you've got Tony Robinson as your quarterback. And Coach Dye, one final thing, Coach Dye and Coach Majors, they both went out in 1992 when the league was changing. That's the first year you've got Arkansas and South Carolina. You've got divisions. Florida becomes the big rivalry. And the Tennessee-Auburn rivalry, basically went away. They play, whatever, 7 years now or something like that. So they didn't come in exactly together. They went through that decade of rebuilding their programs. And by the end of the decade, in 1992, they're both gone.
We're talking to Mike Strange of the New Sentinel. And, Mike, what about that era of football do you think has changed the most? And kind of a two-part question, what part of the Johnny Majors era did you like the most?
Well, I got to Knoxville in 1983. I did not cover football. The 83 season, I did not cover football. So in the spring of 84, I went onto the football beat and covered Coach Majors from 84 up through the 92 season. And it was, in those days, practices were open the entire time. So I would be at football practice a whole lot of the time and watching a whole lot of Johnny Majors at practice. Just observing him. And he was so interesting, such an interesting man. And I've been listening to other tributes people have been saying yesterday and today, and it's all true. He just had an amazing memory. It seemed like, gosh, he just knew everything about football and hadn't forgotten, a single practice, what happened at practice in 1956. So he was a fascinating man, and I don't know if this is exactly the answer to your question, but that 1992 season, the way that transition happened, is the most dramatic, most compelling story that I think I ever covered and was in the middle of covering in my entire newspaper career.
Mike, what are you? You mentioned hearing everybody else's stories. We've had a ton of them here on the station. What are ones that maybe you've had the personal experience with Coach Majors? He had so many funny quotes and interesting, unique ways of going about things. Is there a story or two you'd like to share about your experience personally with?
Well, I'll tell you one that's kind of not just about Tennessee. I think people in Tennessee understand that he would also be a hero in Pittsburgh, right? Because of what he did at Pittsburgh. So I think it was about 2010 or 2011. I know Bruce Pearl was still the basketball coach in Tennessee. Was going to play an early December game against Pittsburgh, a basketball game in Pittsburgh. So I thought, I'm going to go up to that. So I'll go a day early and do a Johnny Majors from a Pittsburgh perspective story. So anyway, I called him and we talked on the phone about, he told me several times and said this in public, I have two homes. He felt so strongly about Tennessee, but he also felt very, very strongly about Pittsburgh, too. So he told me some places to go and a couple of people to talk to. So anyway, I had a day in Pittsburgh on the campus, around town, and it was just fascinating learning about, Coach Majors in the context of Pittsburgh and what a hero he is there. And he told me one place to go, I believe it was the Pittsburgh Downtown Athletic Club or something. And he said, go find Art, a guy named Art, I think his name was. So I go in this club, and sure enough, there's an old guy there, white-haired guy named Art. And I told him, I'm from Knoxville, Johnny Majors sent me. And he just immediately launched into this, boy, what a rip-off that was in the Heisman Trophy race. That was a robbery. And I'm so used to hearing that from Tennessee fans, so in my mind I'm thinking, Peyton Manning, he's talking about Peyton Manning, but then it's like, Hornig should have never won that thing. Johnny Majors should have been the Heisman Trophy winner that year. So the boys in Pittsburgh were still had Johnny's back on the 1956 Heisman Trophy.
I love people that carry a chip on their shoulder or hold a grudge, Mike Strange, because I feel like Tennessee, a two-time loser, big time in those Heisman Trophy scandals. We'll just call them scandals. Hey, Mike, before we let you go, we appreciate you so much joining us today. I can't help but feel really sentimental about just another piece of the past, another legend passing on. And you think, when you think of John Majors passing, it also conjures up Haywood Harris having left us a while back. And then John Ward. I really do feel sentimental about those pieces of history just not being here anymore. Can you relate to that?
Oh, absolutely. And especially with Coach Majors, because he was the history of Tennessee football. He knew he could chapter and verse talk about any game that was ever played And in closing, I want to say this. If we all live a life as full as Johnny Majors did, we'd be doing well. I know he had some bad things happen in his life. He had his brother getting killed in the car train wreck. And what happened to him the way it did at Tennessee was, no matter what side of things you're on, that was such a hard thing for him. But that said, he was so interested in so many things, music, travel, history. And if we could all get out of life what he got, we'd be doing well.
I think that's very well said, Mike. Thank you so much for joining us and helping us reflect on Coach Majors. And I know that you really enjoyed covering him when he was here, and it was really good to hear from you.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, thank you all.
That's Mike Strange of the New Sentinel, longtime football and basketball beat writer, and now still contributor to the Shopper page. So make sure you check that out, as he's going to have a column coming out about Johnny Majors next week. So we appreciate him taking the time to join us. 656-9900, *990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. When we come back, we got to touch on our COVID-19 update of the day. Someone from News Talk 98.7 set to join us. And we'll also talk to John Wilkerson coming up here in less than 20 minutes. This is Sports 180 on the Sports Animal.
Covering Tennessee, the SEC, and everything else in between. It's Sports 180 with Josh and Heather.
Thanks again to Mike Strange for carving out some time in his day. Man, I miss hearing you and Mike on the New Sentinel Sports page. Many, many years. And one of our beloved former cohorts that would call in and tease him as future Mike Strange.
Yeah, and I'm fortunate to occasionally do the Sports Source with John Pennington Sunday mornings at 11 on WATE. And a couple Sundays ago, I was on the panel with Mike Strange. So I cherish any of those opportunities to work with him, and it's great to talk with him now. He's one that you could toss any subject about what's going on, and he'll be able to eloquently and intelligently talk about it. So really appreciate that.
An unbelievable. I was never a writer on my journalism track. It wasn't my strong suit. But I will say, I always appreciate people that can write on a deadline. Mike Strange, it used to be so impressive to sit behind him in the press box as they sat on the front row, and I was one row back and a couple of seats to his right, and just watching him work. It's just amazing how he could craft his pieces
with poise as well under that deadline.
Yep.
You could see it. I mean, some people in the press boxes are panicking. You just have a different level of anxiety that you can just feel from a couple rows back. But with Mike, that never sensed that at all.
Yeah, just the best. Hey, let's go right now to Alex Abernathy back at the studios as well for our daily COVID-19 update. Alex, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys. We do have the newest Knox County Health Department numbers for COVID-19. We have 452 cases in the county. That is up 11 from yesterday. 112 of those cases are active. That is also up 11 from yesterday. And 335 people have recovered. That number hasn't changed since Monday, the last I checked. There are two people currently hospitalized. That is up one from yesterday. We had one hospitalization enter early this week. We stayed steady at one, and now we have another, and we're at two. And five deaths are connected to COVID-19. No change there, and we have not seen a death from COVID-19 in a couple of weeks here in Knox County. Several states are trying to get President Trump to accept their invitation to do the GOP convention because they are removing it from North Carolina because of North Carolina's concerns about the coronavirus. Nashville is one of those cities in the running. There's also a few in Florida that are going for it, as well as some cities in Nevada, Georgia, Texas, Louisiana, and Arizona. So there's a long list here, but Nashville is one of the ones being considered. And earlier this week, Governor Bill Lee called Nashville the best place in America to have a convention. And GOP officials are in Nashville today to scout out the area. And once again, the reason that they had to remove the convention from North Carolina was because North Carolina has been much slower than a lot of other states to open up because of concerns for the coronavirus. Last story for now, guys. Lake County, Tennessee, which is out in West Tennessee, now leads the country in per capita coronavirus cases. They went from 8 cases to 360 cases in the last 7 days. Now, before, that looks like a major red flag. That is because of the continued testing that the state of Tennessee is doing with inmates and prison staff. The Northwest Correctional Facility is in Lake County, and they had 230 inmates test positive for it, and also a lot of prison staff who they then think brought that home to their families. So that's where that spike in cases has come from in Lake County. But as of right now, Lake County does lead the country in per capita coronavirus cases.
Thank you for that clarification there, Alex, because I know people just tend to look at headlines and don't really dive into the facts, but it's definitely necessary to point out the correctional facility that does reside in Lake County.
Exactly. Numbers matter, but so does context, is what I like to say.
Very true. Thank you for that.
That's going to do it. We will have the state numbers coming up around 3 o'clock up on our website, newstalk987.com. And as soon as anything breaks throughout the rest of the day, we will have that on there as well.
All right. Thank you so much, Alex Abernathy, newstalk987.com, for all the latest on what's going on with COVID-19 and the reopening phases of Knoxville. So thanks for keeping us posted. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Well, that's not. I feel like still feeling pretty positive about mingling more and more with my friends and getting back out to normal life.
I think so, but why wait for context when you can be outraged, Heather?
Hashtag I sarcasm. Can't believe it. A duck, a duck, a duck. I love the fact that Sam Forward played that clip going into the Mike Strange interview. If you missed that, you can check out our website. There are so many amazing interviews, Vince, that you guys have put up on the website. 991thesportsanimal.com. We've heard from so many people. I want to remind everybody to set a phone alarm because you do not want to miss. T. Martin is going to be on Sports Talk today coming up at 3:35. So you definitely don't want to miss that. But a lot of the other interviews, like if you were in and out of the car or in and out of the app yesterday, Sports Talk was just killing it with all the people that they had on and all the guests yesterday.
It's incredible. They had 7, 8, 9, something like that, in almost all the interviews. Even Mike DeCourcy, who covers college basketball nationally, he covered Johnny Majors, especially at Pitt, and had some great stories as well. So many of them. Bobby Majors was on yesterday as well. So,
awesome.
He told a great story about how Johnny recruited him to Iowa State, and Bobby's like, I'm not going to play there. You're too hard on me. So then of course, you know the people at Iowa State are like, wait, he can't even recruit his younger brother to come up here? What's going on? But I thought that was fun. He thought, no, Johnny's too hard on me. I'm not going to play for you.
Yeah, what would the message boards have been like back when he was recruiting his brother, swung and a miss at Iowa State? They would have just been ready to run him out of town. I could imagine that, you always hear about in youth sports, the coach's son, they either get the brunt of all the frustration from their coach because they don't want to show favoritism, so they're either super hard on their kids, or you have those coaches that are maybe really easy on their kids and give them the prime position. I have a feeling Coach Majors would be the latter.
he would be even tougher on him than everybody else, and he was tough and demanding of everybody because that was his standard. It was very important to him. So just so many of those fantastic stories. And here's the easy thing to do: you can go on our main page. You can find some of those interviews. You can scroll back. All of them from all the shows are together in that podcast section. But you can also go to the audio tab, click on all shows on demand, and you'll see them listed there as well. Just the audio is in a lot of different places, but spend some time on it. It's going to be neat for you to relive some of those stories that you may have missed.
Yeah, and also we had Chris Lowe from ESPN on yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's working on more stuff about Johnny Majors. Ryan McGee from ESPN has a new story up on Coach Majors. He said everyone should have that one person in their life that they just call Coach For me, that was Johnny Major. So really cool story by Ryan McGee. We're going to reminisce with John Wilkerson coming up next. He's going to do a little extended time with us today. We'll talk not only about Coach Majors and reliving some of John's history with Coach Majors, but we'll touch on some other things going on around the country as well over the next half hour. And we'll take your phone call, 656-9900. John Wilkerson from Sports Talk is coming up next on The Sports Animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
93 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Well, I got down off the shoulders when I shook hands with Coach Bryant. After all, he'd ridden a lot of shoulders against a lot of coaches through the past, and I got off and he says, Johnny, he said, you had a good game plan.
When Johnny comes marching home again, hoorah, hoorah.
We talked to Mike Strange a few minutes ago. You can hear that interview at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. We're now pleased to be joined by Sports Talk's John Wilkerson. John, welcome to the show. Hey, what was it like yesterday? I know it's a sad moment in time, but also just a unique and lighthearted chance to reflect on some of the most incredible moments of Tennessee history.
Yeah, when you take a look at what John Majors did first as a player and then also returning to take over the program after he'd won a national championship at Pitt, I thought Mike Keith really did a great job of encapsulizing just what the day was and perhaps even what it should have been. And he said, first of all, that before Peyton Manning, Johnny Majors was the stuff. I mean, Peyton Manning, I don't think there's any question, eclipsed Coach Majors in terms of his accomplishments as a player, both at Tennessee and beyond. But before that, John Majors was the most popular player in the history of the program. And so to see him return and just continue, 22 seasons, I think, all told, when you look at player, assistant, and head coach. And so yesterday, while it was a sad day, and you feel for the Majors family, there were also so many smiles, a lot of laughter, because he was that kind of individual. And Mike also said, and I agreed 100%, that I think that he thought Coach Majors would have approved as to how the conversation the day unfolded, because while there was the sadness in recognizing the passing of a true Tennessee legend and treasure, it was the celebration of just the incredibly unique individual that John Majors was. And so to have as many stories were told, to share as many laughs and smiles, I think that was what kind of ruled the day, and I do believe that Coach would certainly have signed off on that.
Well, it's interesting that Mike Keith then brought up Peyton Manning. When you start correlating the two, there's a lot of similarities with not only being one of the best players at their position in their time, but also the personality that accompanies the football player.
Exactly. And you look, I mean, we've talked a lot about Coach Majors. We've talked a lot about Pat Dye, who also passed away, the legendary Auburn coach. And those were just think of the personalities that were in place at one time around the Southeastern Conference. And now, granted, they weren't cuffed at all by social media and overreaction to any reaction or comments they might have. So it was just a very special time in SEC football. And of course, for them to transition, so to speak, to move on at within such a short period of time with one another, it's also ironic because they enjoyed giving each other so much grief. And so that's only appropriate. But you're right. Personality plays a big part of it. And Peyton Manning, obviously dynamic. And I don't know that we'll ever see a person such as Coach Majors again, because even when his days being an active participant in the sport of football had come and gone, he was present and he was still making an impact and or impression, which I think is one of the great things about him, that he was as sharp as he was for as long as he was, and we got to enjoy him for a long, long time.
John, a little bit to Heather's question, the totality of yesterday, the quantity and the quality of the amazing stories of what a unique and personality John Majors was. I honestly had to go back and listen to a lot of the interviews last night, and I heard them live, but there are so many of them. How did you digest the full day of all of those stories?
Well, it was just one. It was a lot of fun. I mean, starting with our first guest, David Moon, and then moving on to Johnny's brother, one of his brothers, and Bobby Majors. I'll tell you what was most surprising to me, and I had no idea, is that senior basketball writer Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, we opened his appearance with us by first talking about Coach Majors, and he actually brought it up. He said, because he had seen how we tweeted the show, and we celebrate John Majors, and he said, first of all, I just want to say condolences to Tennessee fans and, of course, the Majors family for the passing of John Majors. And then he goes on to share these instances where he had obviously he hadn't written on basketball his entire life, even though it could seem that way, but he covered football. And so he was in Memphis, and he talked to Coach Majors not long after his time at Tennessee had come to an end. He was at Pitt and talked to Coach Majors there. So he, for the John Majors stories that he shared and just how gracious that Coach Majors was with his time at a point in time when he was, could have been very busy and or settling into a different position, it was just, I thought that was most surprising. But then you also hear Steve Early, vice president and general manager of the Vol Network. He's a sophomore at West High, and he's taken a journalism class. And so you had to interview somebody, and he said, I'm going to shoot for the stars. So he calls Coach Major's secretary, and this is in the middle of the season. It's like in October. And sure enough, Coach Majors gave him 20 minutes to a half an hour to just talk with him about what Steve wanted to talk about. And he said, and if he's doing that for a high school sophomore, it's just amazing how generous he was with his time to lend a helping hand when he could.
And Steve Early also mentioned on a couple of occasions with you, there are no short sound bites with Coach Majors. There never were, and you experienced that with the years you guys had him on Sports Talk.
Well, Coach Majors, to a fault, had the incredible memory. And so as he would tell a story, he would sometimes get off track. And so he'd start down one path, and then he would remember this about a specific play, and then remember this about a specific player from that play, and then remember this about their school or coach. And so it would be very easy to just take the long way home, as has been said and sung. But I just think that it was really something, and so many times he would be so generous, again, with his time and love to connect with people who came by to see him if we were on location. And so he would be in the middle of a story, and it's like, Coach, we're going back on the air. And so he's got the headset off, but right there close enough to where you could hear him talking. And it's like, we can't go live just yet. But it was just, again, at times his incredible memory would just lead him on a path that would take a long story and make it even more wonderful.
I love the way you put that, John. What do you think, watching Coach Majors coach when you were younger, what stands out to you as one of your most fondest memories?
Well, just remembering what it was like when he returned, because he came back after winning a national championship at Pitt. Tennessee had been on a steady decline. When Doug Dickey left, he left the cupboard full, and Bill Battle took over, and Bill Battle did a lot of nice things for Tennessee, but he just was never able to get close to what Coach Dickey had brought in and had stocked the roster in terms of talent. So it was just a steady decline from his first year to his last year. So there wasn't a lot that was there for Coach Majors to build on, and I think he knew that, and so it took a little while. He didn't have a winning season until his third year at Tennessee. And so it would have been very easy to just say, timing's not right. I want to try and defend the national championship at Pitt. Got Tony Dorsett. Why not continue? But, hey, when mama calls, you answer. And that's exactly what Coach Majors did. So just to remember all of everything that was swirling about when Johnny came marching home, that was remarkable. And then you get into the building of the program, the victory with the World's Fair as the backdrop of, over Alabama in 82, four straight wins against the Crimson Tide for Tennessee in that little span, the Sugar Bowl victory, the Sugar Vols of the 85 champions and the 86 Sugar Bowl. I mean, there were just so many instances that stood out, but I just remembered, and again, part of it is a family connection, and that is my dad doing some UT flight operations. He would sometimes fly Coach Majors on recruiting visits and different things like that, because that's what my dad did in his spare time after being on the faculty. And so it was just great to hear stories. And then, and again, just to know that the few times that I had the chance to interact some with Coach Majors before working with him on a regular basis, he was always gracious to say, well, tell your father hello. And they had a pretty nice connection just from what they did in terms of flying around the Southeast.
It's hard to imagine one win over Alabama right now. Imagining four straight, because I wasn't here 95 through 2001. I got here in 2002. I've only ever experienced three wins against Alabama as a Tennessee fan.
Well, and as you mentioned, streaks like that are hard to come by. And later, Tennessee and Coach Fulmer would put together the longest unbeaten streak for any school against the Crimson Tide. But, yeah, that was really something, especially when you had the heroics of Dale Jones. That was just such a special time. Charles Davis, Vince, was reminding me yesterday because I said, you won your first three against Alabama before your senior year. And he said, I redshirted. He said, as far as I see it, I was 4-1 against Alabama. And I said, why don't we just say the first four? We don't even have to talk about the last one.
I like that.
So, yeah, those are special because they have been rare, and here's hoping at some point in time Tennessee gets to swing back.
Yes, amen to that.
And, John, you mentioned the laugh of on some of your social media posts, the laugh of Coach Majors and how memorable that is. And he just, there were so many things that were really unique and different about him. And I think even Mike Keith mentioned it, there will never be another John Majors. And I think Mike Keith's term might have been rock star to your point earlier, and just how impactful and memorable your exchanges were with him.
Yeah, and that was exactly it. And what we heard continuously was just how diverse of an individual he was, because you didn't know if the conversation was going to be about football, which there was absolutely nothing wrong if it was, but it could easily take a left turn and all of a sudden you're talking about the NBA. Then you could take a quick exit and take down this spur over to Hollywood and then come swinging right back through politics. You just had there was not a roadmap for what would be perhaps any time over a significant amount of time that you would spend with Coach Majors.
How much did he talk about, John, do you recall, his time as Pitt's coach?
Well, he talked a good bit about it, simply, and he also talked a lot about Iowa State, and that was one of the things that was also really cool, is you look at the impact, not only what he had as a player, assistant, and head coach at Tennessee, but when he became a head coach. I mean, there he was at Iowa State, built them from nothing it took them to a bowl game. And so they started to mark back against their rivals within their conference. And so the Cyclones, they yesterday were sharing special memories about Coach Majors and the time that he spent with them. And then you had Pitt saying that John Majors took us to our greatest glory. And so he talked about making the move from Iowa State to Pitt and taking over that program and, you know, waging the backyard brawl with Penn State and just building that roster and what a special player Tony Dorsett was, or Dorsett before he changed his name.
And I love that he would always point that out, too.
Yes. So, I mean, it was just he pointed to that with pride. And then the other thing that stands out, and they've tweeted, a couple of folks have, pictures of his coaching staff, one of his coaching staffs at Iowa State. 33 assistant coaches went on to become head coaches. I mean, when you take a look at what Coach Majors meant to each of his players, and you heard that, I mean, it was such a consistent reign that it wasn't just football. It was also things that would make you a better student, a better man, and so it was life lessons that Coach had for his players, but also did so much to build up those that worked with him and for him. Again, a coaching tree that spawns 33 head coaches, and you're talking about guys like Jimmy Johnson and John Gruden, and you can go on down the list, David Cutcliffe. It's so impressive, those that worked for him, and a lot of those, just as you look for the coach that recruits and spots the guy who nobody else is in on because you see something special. I mean, David Cutcliffe and Philip Fulmer highlighted what Coach Cut perhaps potentially was, but he took Coach Majors down. They watched a practice because they'd recruited a player from his school. And so he comes up and he is a graduate assistant in 1982. And then they expand the staff in terms of another full-time assistant. And Coach Majors, as David shared with us yesterday, he didn't come in and say, you can interview for the position. He said, it's going to be you. And so you just recognize people and their potential and what they can do. And just amazing to see the reach and impact that Coach Majors had on so many.
He's John Wilkerson from Sports Talk. You can hear him and Jimmy coming up today at 3 o'clock. John, I could sit here and talk to you about Coach Majors all day because you lived it in real time. But I also want to get your opinions on what's going on around the country when we come back. Hear some comments from Rick Barnes and a special guest that you guys have coming up on Sports Talk today. We'll touch on all of that coming up. This is Sports 180 on the Sports Animal.
The Sports Animal and Alexa are best friends. Just tell her, Alexa, enable the 99.1 The Sports Animal skill.
Skill enabled.
Then anytime you want immediate Tennessee sports info, say, Alexa, play 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Okay, playing 99.1 The Sports Animal.
And I'd just like to quickly address what's going on in our country right now. And it's really sad to see how so many people are hurting right now. And when you think about what we're going through as a nation right now, and I think about where it hits home personally, where I have two beautiful adopted grandchildren, black grandchildren that I don't know where I would be in my life without them right now. And it scares me to think about where and what they're going to have to grow up with and deal with. And it goes back to when we talk to them about it, we just simply say what the Bible tells us to talk about, where where God said, you love your neighbor like yourself. And I just would love to see our nation really embrace a change of heart and that we all can love each other the way that God created us to love each other.
Rick Barnes is part of the Big Orange Connect event that occurred virtually, last night. You can hear all of those interviews in their entirety at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Our final segment, our extended time with John Wilkerson today. John, I want to move past the Johnny Majors storyline at this point in time, because also another big point of emphasis this week is just what's been going on around the country. You heard Rick Barnes talking about it last night in that clip that we just played. What are kind of your thoughts in trying to figure out how NCAA coaches can navigate these times to bring about positive change for their black athletes?
Well, I just think that there's so much going on in regards to the best approach could just be listening. I mean, just listening to questions, concerns, experiences, so many different things. And I just wish that there would be more of that. There is so much pushback, and I'm not just speaking to this specific issue, but in terms of two sides of a coin, both sides of the fence, and we've gotten to a point where nobody even considers the opportunity for their point of view to be wrong, to be misguided, to be anything but 100% real. And we know life tells us that's just not the case. I mean, you can be convinced of something, and lo and behold, you find out I was completely wrong about that. It could be something as simple as music lyrics. Gosh, I've been singing it this way for years and years, and you actually see it in print, and it's like, goodness gracious, how did I not hear that? And I realize that's so simplistic for something like this, but I just think that we've gotten to a point collectively to where people only find confidence in those that have a similar viewpoint to theirs. And if you talk with a coach, what makes you a better player, what makes you a better coach, is learning from the game itself, and usually that comes at the hands of defeat. And so all I'm saying is just listen to what could be. I mean, you could be right when all is said and done, 100% right, but we don't even get to the point now where we consider an opposing viewpoint. It's just simply, and you shut it off. And that's just, that doesn't help anyone. So I just think in this instance specifically, and I do think that Coach Barnes, Coach Pruitt, just hearing what they've had to say, I'm impressed with how they're approaching it. And I'm also impressed with how they've approached it over the years. But realizing now, I mean, the other thing that is 100% true is we can all be better. And in some way, shape, or form, we can all do more to reach out to those we may not fully understand, and perhaps lend a helping hand to those that may not fully understand us. And so I just wish that there could be greater consideration for what would be not necessarily an opposing viewpoint, but a different viewpoint, because all of our experiences are different. All of our backgrounds are different. And there's just so much that you can learn and learn to appreciate about the other side, in terms of it could be rivals, it could be opponents, any way, shape, or form, but especially when it comes to the issue of race and what has been so divisive, I just think first listening to what people have to say and about what needs to change, I think that's step one, because I think everybody wants this country to be the best it possibly can be, but it's also going to have it significant bumps and difficult travels along the way. But listening, I think, is job one. Just listen to what someone has to say about what their experiences have been, and then you might have a greater understanding that you never even considered before then. And to hear Coach Pruitt talk about how he's going to approach it, to try and even broaden the scope as to his understanding and experience, as well as Coach Barnes, I just think it's impressive to hear folks saying that first they want to hear what needs to be said.
So sending a generated text and then telling people that you talk to everyone individually wouldn't fall into the category of what you're talking about?
And there has been an update to that. There's some new audio. Yeah, Chris Vanini putting it out on The Athletic. But, yeah, that was the wrong approach, was it not, John Wilkerson?
Yeah, and because this is also the day and age where what you said is going to be checked. And so for that matter, and as it should be, you just shouldn't be so comfortable. So, I talk with everybody on a one-to-one basis. And as you were talking about at the start of the show, Vince, I mean, it really is rare, especially in the college ranks, that there's this kind of pushback where it's like, that didn't happen, or at least it didn't happen with me. And so for a brand-new coach, as you were talking about, Heather, to immediately have this kind of misstep, I mean, what Mike Leach did was incredibly short-sighted and just uninformed about the region that he now calls home. And with his unfortunate tweet that has silenced him on Twitter when he thought he would throw out a little bit of humor, which, again, very wrong path to take. But with Norvell, my goodness, he has stepped in a hole, and we'll see how long it takes him to dig out of it.
Hey, you have T. Martin coming on today at 3:35 on Sports Talk. You and Jimmy are going to talk to T. He's been entrusted with a big task by Jeremy Pruitt. What are you expecting to hear from T. Martin about listening to his players, being kind of that liaison, and then figuring out a strategy where they can actually cultivate positive change?
Well, I think T, first of all, is a perfect choice for this role. And you also take a look at what Condridge Holloway meant to the athletic department for years and years. I just think that, one, he's an excellent choice, and so can't wait to hear from him about that. We also are going to, since we have the Ball Network Classic with its latest episode this upcoming Saturday at noon, it is the 1998 Florida game. So we will be talking with T. Martin about that, his memories from that game, and just the atmosphere at Neyland Stadium, which some say was the best that it's ever been, and then as loud as it's ever been. And then also, I'm sure that we will touch on that, because I think, one, he's up to it, and two, I think he's the perfect choice for it.
That sounds awesome. I've encouraged everybody, set an alarm for 3:35 when T. Martin joins the airwaves. Hey, John, thanks for the extended time today, and we'll catch back up with you for the Power Poll.
Look forward to it. Guys, thank you very much.
That's John Wilkerson. You can hear him every day with, along with Jimmy Himes on Sports Talk beginning at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to reset the day coming up. Like I told Vince, there's been an update with Marvin Wilson's comments that he had earlier about Mike Norvell. I think Mike Norvell actually reached out, Vince. So we'll watch that video here coming up during the break. And Tobias Harris with some interesting words being written. We will catch you up to date on that as well. This is Sports 180. We're about to kick off hour number 3 coming up next on The Sports Animal.